Hi, I'm Lucy Bartlett, the co-organiser of San Francisco Community Manager Group and the girl behind ForumCon and other VigLink marketing things. And I love the Social Media Clarity podcast.
The vast majority of new online communities die in their first days, weeks, or months. And it's not because of a lack of initial enthusiasm, but because the creators didn't stop and consider the nature of the work they were about to undertake. It is a lot of work that falls on the shoulders of the group founder, who usually creates a group page on a social media site by just filling in some fields and then thinks, what's next?
Welcome to the Social Media Clarity Podcast. 15 minutes of concentrated analysis and advice about social media in platform and product design.
Welcome to the Social Media Clarity Podcast. I'm Randy Farmer.
I'm Scott Moore.
Today, we are starting a series of best practices for establishing and curating a new virtual home for an online community.
For our first chapter of this series, we'll focus on smaller online communities. We're talking about an online place for your family, friends, a team, club, church, guild, clan, or your neighborhood. The main idea is that the community provides value primarily to its members, not to a company, a brand, or an institution.
The vast majority of new online communities die in their first days, weeks, or months. And it's not because of a lack of initial enthusiasm, but because the creators didn't stop and consider the nature of the work they were about to undertake. It is a lot of work that falls on the shoulders of the group founder, who usually creates a group page on a social media site by just filling in some fields and then thinks, what's next?
We're going to talk about identifying and establishing your community's purpose, why people will gather in your community's goals, what are you trying to achieve as a group, and how do you know if your community is successful, and your initial members, who's going to help you seed your community and make it a vibrant place to gather, and how do you grow membership from there? These are the critical success factors to get your community started and keep the momentum going so you can increase its chance of success online.
As we go through these big three questions, we'll be using a specific example to show how they are applied. Let's consider our example, drone photography of miniature terrain. This combines two hobbies, drone photography and miniature terrain building. This could mean everything from drones taking impossible to get pictures at Legoland to building remote booms to go inside small-scale model buildings. Our founder, Casey, is an amateur skilled at building miniature terrain of all types and is a gadget freak and is excited about the possibilities of remote cameras with her main hobby. You should state your community's purpose clearly. For example, mainstream drone photography doesn't pay enough attention to alternate uses such as smaller scale, indoor flight, and even non-flying drones.
The first thing to establish is your community purpose, your central theme. What is it all about? The reason we do this is a shared sense of purpose helps people build relationships, which makes for stronger communities, and that makes the work easier. The other reason is that people are busy, and so are your future members. Adding another source of social input had better provide more benefits than it is cost. That is, your theme has to be compelling enough to overcome handling invitations, registering, the overhead of demand on your members' time to read and to post.
So Casey wants to describe her community as the home for model builders, photographers, and drone aficionados to share about terrain and drones, building, hacking, flying, and photography. Oh, and did I say photos? Lots of photos.
Once you've clearly stated your community purpose, you will need goals to understand if you're accomplishing that purpose. Goals break up into several types. There are goals for the whole community. There's goals for the members of your community. There's goals for yourself. And there's goals for people who are visiting the community but haven't quite joined yet. We'll start with group goals. And these are what the entire community contributes to as a whole to help the community achieve its purpose. The way to think about goals for the group is to imagine what the community success would look like, that you have enough members who are helping each other, and that your members are improving in some skill set, or your members are solving their problems, whether they're small or huge. once you've identified these goals, you need to measure your progress in accomplishing them. And some might be easy to measure. Many platforms have traffic or participation stats built right in. Some are harder to measure. And so simply asking your members by surveys or encouraging them to give feedback about the kind of successes they're having from your community can be helpful. And some are really hard, or they're too big to be able to measure. And so you might use proxies or break them down into smaller pieces. So how are we going to measure success for Casey? Let's pick out photos, lots of photos. So one goal can be to appear on the first page of Google image search if somebody types in drone and miniature terrain. Another goal to measure can be the number of uploads of photographs to Casey's site as compared to uploads of some other site related to drone or miniature photography.
After the community goals, it's important to remember that every individual member comes with their own goals. How they interact with you really depends on how you want to specify the community. Do you want your community to be a friendly, welcoming place? Helpful, collaborative, argumentative or spirited, or even downright competitive? Communities can display a whole range of behaviors, and you can influence the overall character of the community by determining which member goals are important. For example, if your community is about mutual support, consider that you will have experts and novices, and you might need technology to support questions and answers. Think early about what motivates your potential experts and how you will support them. Some members want recognition for their contributions from other members or from staff. Make sure the contributions that support the community purpose are the ones you recognize. Considering our example, the member goals are not perfectly aligned with the community goals, but support them nonetheless. We're going to support social feedback in the form of likes so that community members can provide feedback to each other about the content that they think is best. But we're not likely to create a point system or a leaderboard to compare them to each other. We'd like to support experts and novices in the form of a moderator-granted helpful badge as a way to recognize long-term contributors.
Let's take a moment to talk about you as the community creator and why you're doing this. And knowing what you want out of it is really important when considering how much effort is going to be required. Managing a community is a job in itself, and it can take time away from the thing you're actually interested in and why you started the community. And if you're not happy, then nobody can be happy. At first, it will feel as if you're doing everything, posting, welcoming, all of the moderation, and you are doing everything. Don't be disheartened. It can take months, even a year, for a community to gel. And we'll give you some tips on how to make it easier a little bit later in the show. The reason it's so important to think about what you need out of the community is because there are three broad outcomes that can happen if you don't think about this. And that is the bad, which means that you focus on the community so much that you become resentful about losing time you're spending on the topic. And then there's worse, and that's focusing on the topic, but then the community is suffering because you're not paying enough attention to them. The way to reconcile this and get the good outcome is to accept your role in the community and get help from the other people who are in your community. I have a few tips on how to do that. First of all, be honest with yourself and your community about your role and your goals. At first, it's all about you to get it started, but as time goes on, it will be more and more about them. Ultimately, you're starting a community for a reason, and if the community isn't getting what they need, you're not getting what you need. So it's somewhat symbiotic. The more people who come into the community, the more your personal goals will wind up taking a backseat through sheer inertia. Next, be objective. Realize that community platforms give you, the community creator, power that others, members in your community, don't have. And so be conscious and be careful about what you say and what you do. In the rough and tumble of community, it can sometimes feel personal. It can sometimes get personal, and that can get in the way of the community as a whole being successful. Then it's important to be flexible. Anything can happen in a community. Every day could be different, and being flexible about working with your community rather than reacting to your community can make things so much easier on you. One way to make things really easy is to get help. You might already have volunteers who are helping you with managing the community, or you can lean on the whole community for help. I've done this in the past with identifying spam rather than me solely trying to find every piece of spam that exists. I just let everyone know, if you see it, let me know. And then it took care of itself. And in asking help from your volunteers and your community, you're also setting up the future of your community if for whatever reason you might need to leave. If you are leaning on them more, they become less dependent upon you. And overall, this is good for a community. Back to our example, Casey has identified what her needs are, and she understands that she's in it for the networking with other drone makers and other miniature terrain builders and photographers. She's also in it a bit for the revenue to support herself, to support the community. So she's upfront with herself about this and upfront with the community. Nobody's surprised if ads are going to be on the site. And she has a separate goal. She understands that this could grow to be very big, and she's going to need to share the load. So she needs to find people who are going to be able to be capable of helping her with the community moving forward. But she wants to do that within the next 6 months.
Finally, we want to consider visitors and their goals. Visitors are non-members, often called read-only users, and they often arrive at your site via external pointers such as invitations and shares, but most commonly, Google search. Visitors are the hidden factor in online communities. Their goals are typically short-term, either fulfillment of a Google search or checking out something specifically shared with them. When setting the goals for your site related to visitors, you need to consider what benefits the community gains from having visitors in exchange for what benefits are granted to the visitors. If you have a closed-door community, for example, people could only arrive with invitations. If you want a lot of random visitors, then the ability to read and maybe even download content would be key. In some cases, you may even wish to allow visitors, non-members, to contribute in the form of likes or comments. You should keep your visitor goals in alignment with your community goals. And if you want to increase membership, consider what would encourage them to join. And for Casey, in fact, she wants to encourage visitors. So she wants to make sure that visitors can find, read, and share the content on her site, and actively encourages the recruitment of contributing members, but won't allow posting without membership in the hopes that it will encourage conversion.
Now that you have your purpose and goals together, you want to think about how you're going to attract your first members. Even the best planned community needs to attract its first 40th or 4,000th member. We're going to focus on the first 25. So you're going to think about who's going to help you seed the community, who's going to get things started. What you should do is name 25 people that you think would be very active in your new online community. They might be from your local group. They might be from other online communities that you're already a part of, forums, social media. They might be blogging themselves, or they might have their own podcasts. The next step, once you have your 25 people named, is to tell them about the community you're starting and personally ask them to help you by sharing their knowledge and experience. If you know them well, it's pretty easy. Contact them personally by email or phone or in person and simply tell them about what you're starting and ask them to help share. If you don't know someone well, participate where they are participating so you have a common foundation from which you can ask them eventually. It's very important not to broadcast or poach from other online communities. You can quickly earn a bad reputation from the members and from the people who are hosting those communities. It's far better in the long run to work in parallel with existing communities. That way, people who come to your community and decide to stay with your community will actually be a stronger foundation for you. even after you ask people to join your community, it's important that you set the example. You need to create content in the form that you want emulated. If you want a site with lots of pictures of miniature terrain, you better start by taking and uploading lots of pictures of miniature terrain to your community. You will also want to establish the kind of behaviors that you want. And here's a couple recommendations for things to start establishing early. Welcome people who post for the very first time in your community and encourage others to also welcome first timers. This takes the burden off of you and it builds a culture of welcoming. Also, don't feel compelled to answer every question. Ask someone who likely knows the answer to help that person out. This gives people reasons to help out, and it sets an example of asking others to help. Keep in mind that your initial members will be doing a lot of work for you up front. So give them special support, special handling, and special motivation. First of all, honor their time and effort. Thank them a lot, publicly and privately. Publicly, you can offer badges or titles that recognize your initial members as founders or as pioneers of your community. You can also have a regular celebration about your opening of community. It might be your first 30 days, your first 6 months, and your first year. Privately, you can send a message within the community platform or social media, but also keep in mind a handwritten thank you note, even if you take a picture of a handwritten thank you note and send it to someone, can mean a lot to that person. Keep in mind that in recognizing the people who are helping you out, to not hand them too much stuff, especially at first. There's a danger where you can replace the initial motivation of desire of giving with an expectation that they're receiving something in exchange for helping you out. Give your seeders privileged access to you if they need special help. They're giving you time and effort, so take the time and effort to help them out if they have any special problems working in your community. What about everybody else? Let's start with additional creators and contributors to your community. These are folks who, very much like your initial 25, are knowledgeable and supportive. The way to find additional creators and contributors to your community is a mini version of what I outlined for the 25. Seek out people in online forums or on social media. Follow them or participate in the forums. Compliment them or be helpful to them in some way and introduce yourself and your new community. Any marketing messages you might make towards this particular group of creators are best around sharing, supporting, being heard, and being appreciated for what they know and what they've done. You will also want to attract seekers, sharers, and the curious to your community. And these are the folks who are seeking answers, support, and share your community purpose. Some ideas on finding these folks include encouraging your community to spread the word, either by sharing links or posts or content, or by referring specific people to your community. And obviously, search engines are your friend. Allow your community to be indexed by search engines. This is really good for niche communities, especially as they grow, because they tend to attract people using the same terms as your community. Like finds like. And the marketing messages to this group can be more broad. My advice is to talk more about what the community is doing. Aspire to describe your community without using the word community or the phrase join our community. It can be tough, but if you use action verbs such as share, learn, grow, get, then you can avoid ambiguity around the broad term community.
So let's apply our example. Where will we find our potential members for our drone photography and miniature terrain group? Casey is already a member of several email groups and participates in message boards, both for drone photography and for miniature terrain. She knows several people who are actually using drones to take pictures. And she talks to them frequently about using drones on this smaller scale. And she asks them if they would be interested in helping her by posting their pictures to her community. Casey decides even to post a flyer at her friendly local gaming store with a URL and some drone photos of her own miniature terrain. Besides the invitations, Casey gets her initial members from the maker and DIY communities that she's a member of, again, forums and groups. After getting those initial members and priming her community with a dozen or so photos, highlighting the intersection of these two hobby communities, she shares those photos targeted to communities that she participates in on Pinterest, Instagram, Flickr, Tumblr, and even Facebook. Good luck, Casey. There you have it. Three big questions to help you start on your journey to set up your online community. What is your community's purpose? What are you and your members' goals? And who are your potential members and how will you reach them? The next step will be to choose a platform. Now, we don't have time for that today, but we've linked some resources in the show notes that will help with that, such as my recent paper, Five Questions for Selecting an Online Community Platform.
And if you would like personal help, I'm available for consulting to get you started. You can email me at scott@phoom.com.
For links, transcripts, and more episodes, go to socialmediaclarity.net. Thanks for listening.